Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patchwork Heart Radio's Young Catholics Respond. I am Bill Snyder, your host for this episode, and joining me today is Pastor Bob Thibodeau. He is the founder of Freedom Through Faith Ministries and also Evangelism Radio. Today we're going to be talking with him about his ministry and his walk with Christ. So, Pastor Bob, thank you so much for joining me
here. It's a blessing. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, yeah, you know, you had me on talking about Patchwork Heart Ministry on Evangelism Radio, and we had such a great conversation. I figured, boy, oh boy, we got to have Pastor Bob on to talk about his ministry and all the wonderful things he's doing. But first, before we get to all the wonderful outreach ministries you do, I want to kind of find out a little bit about your personal walk with Jesus, how you came to know him, and what was there a moment of conversion or personal acceptance of Christ in your life?
Absolutely. I started right out of high school. My heart's desire was to make a career out of the military. And I was good at my job, put it like that. Within 5-6 years, I was promoted way ahead of my peers. At about 8.5 years, I was looking at time to re-enlist or whatever, you know, the future held. And I wasn't saved. I mean, I was a heathen as far as going. But if someone came up to me and said, "Oh, do you know Jesus?" Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, I was raised as a Lutheran, and you know, I did the catechism thing. I'm good to go. You know, but there was absolutely zero fruit in my life. I was, you know, cussing, drinking. You know, I mean, take your typical GI, and that was me. except I was good at my job. And time came where I was looking one day at the retirement program, and a sergeant major, I was on track for sergeant major. There was no doubt I was going to make sergeant major. The difference in retirement pay between a sergeant major and an officer, a captain who had at least 4 years enlisted service, was about $400 a month. And I'm like, well, I'm going to stay in. I'm following the money, you know, and there's clue number one right there, because I was following, you know, the demon mammon instead of God. But I got my commission, and almost a week after I got my commission, they announced that they had too many officers in the Army. And here I had to struggle to get 2 years of college during all this time. And, you know, I wasn't an officer's officer. I decided I was going to be the maverick, because everybody, you know, if any officer was almost guaranteed to make captain, unless you got caught doing something seriously wrong. And I had it spaced out where I knew I'd never see major, but my last Passover would come at about 18 months to the 20-year retirement, and I would be locked in for retirement. So I figured I don't have to, you know, play their game. I don't have to, you know, brown nose all these senior officers. I'll just be me. And my commander one time described me as an NCO impersonating an officer. That's how he rated me. And I didn't care, because I was locked in. I knew I was going to get it. Well, I got my first Passover, which I was expecting, but you're allowed two. And they said, no, DA said, because the president said there's too many officers in the military, you're going to have to go back to enlisted status or get out. And that meant about a 50% cut in pay. So, you know, me being the hard-headed, you know, gruff person I was, told them what they could do with their job, and I left. And that really put a strain on my family. I ended up as an insurance salesman. About this time, the Gulf War was starting. I was still a heathen. And our unit left because I was selling the military. So I took and got an apartment over in Columbus, Georgia, because that was a base for training. I figured there's GIs there all the time. And I put my family in such jeopardy. I mean, the bills were past due. They're threatening to turn off the electricity. We had no money for food. And I sold absolutely zero from January 1st to January 25th. Had no income coming in, no future outlook. My wife called me up and said, what are we going to do? And I went into this empty bedroom. I slept on the floor. Mm-hmm. And I had my Bible, because it was my grandfather's Bible, and I was in the habit of reading it every day. And I just cried out to God. I mean, I literally had tears streaming down my face. I can't deal with this. It was on the verge of a breakdown, nervous breakdown. I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I said, if you're real, take this off me. I said, I'll give you my life. I'll be a preacher for you. I don't care. You know, I just can't deal with this anymore. And I went to lay down and go to bed, and the street light was shining on the Bible. I said, oh, I forgot to read my Bible tonight. And I got up, and Psalms 34, verse 7. Psalms 34 is the scripture I was supposed to read that night. And I got down to verse 7 and said, the Lord has heard this poor man cry and shall deliver him from all his troubles. And at that moment, I felt the entire weight of the world lift off my shoulders, and I sensed the presence of God now dwelling in me. And it was 11:30 p.m. on January 25th, 1992, in a little empty apartment in Columbus, Georgia. I could take you right to the very spot that it happened. Hmm. And my wife had been saved about 4 years, and she was praying for me. And I called her up that night, and we just rejoiced over the phone. I said, it was a month-to-month lease on the apartment. I said, I can be just as broke at home as I can here. There's no sense paying two living expenses. I'm coming home at the end of the month. Between January 25th and January 1st, I sold enough insurance to cover all my expenses, to catch up some of the bills at home. And I moved back home, and we weren't debt-free, but we were all caught up. God blessed in that 1 week. So I know I got born again that night.
That's amazing. And just listening to your story, there's so many moments of conversion for so many people out there, but yours is, you know, very unique and very beautiful. Sometimes God speaks to us in that silence, in that complete desolation, that complete brokenness. I was talking to one of my students yesterday, and I was talking to him about just exactly what you kind of did, you know, flip open the Bible. Mm-hmm. And read it. I always call it Bible roulette, and more often than not, God speaks to us and has exactly the right words at the right time for us. You know, 95% of the time He does that for us. And how beautiful in your life, just to see in that moment your life transform. But I'm sure that your life wasn't all roses right after that either. I'm sure you had lots of challenges and things. Yeah. There's very few people that go right from, that moment to, oh, it's going to be perfect now. So what were some of those things that God was calling you to do out of that comfort zone? Because you probably were in some level, excited and comfortable in Christ, but, you know, I knew that He had you, but He's always pushing you to push that comfort zone and reach more people. What were some of those ways that he called you out of your comfort zone?
Well, when I got back home, like I said, it was now February 1st, 1992. I told my wife, we're moving to Texas. You know, Killeen, Texas is where Fort Hood was. Fort Polk was where we were at, and they were closing. That's the reason I was over in Georgia. I said, we're moving to Texas. We're getting out of this town. It's dying. So we made plans. I found a home over there we could buy. We moved to Killeen, Texas. I began my insurance agent. Everything was going great. It grew so that within 3 years, I had an office. I had three staff. I had nine agents, and we were the number two producing agency in the world. But we were still struggling from, you know, past debt and trying to pay all that stuff off. Well, in 1993, one morning, I was sitting out on the porch reading my Bible, and you're talking about, you know, how God speaks to you. And I'm sitting there drinking my coffee, and my scripture reading that day was Ezekiel chapters 1 through 3. And I got to Ezekiel chapter 2, and the words just jumped off the page. It said, I'm calling you to go to your own people. He's talking about the nation of Israel, but to me, I was reading as to your own people, the United States, you know, of the United States. And you will tell them, thus saith the Lord. They won't want to listen to you, because their foreheads are hard. He goes, but I've made your forehead far harder than their forehead, you know. And that goes back to my hard-headedness again from the military. And I guess I turned white as a ghost, because my wife is sitting there drinking. She looked and said, what's the matter? And I told her, I said, I think God's calling me into the ministry. And I argued with God for about August, for about 2 months. And I went to my pastor, made an appointment to go in and see him, and said, I think God's calling me into the ministry. And I'll never forget the most outstanding response that I have ever heard, and I still remember it to this day. He smiled, and I'm thinking he's going to come over, we're going to pray, and he's going to give me all this materials and tell me everything I need to do. He got up, put his hand on my shoulder, and said, when you know for sure, let me know. And he walked out of the room and left me sitting there.
Wow.
And I was like, okay. So I went and I argued for God for another 2 months because, you know, this is not me. You know, I was a heathen. I did all these things wrong. And, you know, you got to, you know, and there was just silence. It was my decision to make. And finally, in November of 1993, I said, okay, I'll do it. I went back, told my pastor, said, I've accepted the call. I said, great. We're having the little church, we were at Baptist church then, and they had like a monthly assembly where about 15 churches would come to their pastors and assistant pastors and all that would come together. And there's probably 75 to 100 people in each one of these events. And he goes, we're hosting this Saturday. This is probably Wednesday night church. And he said, we're hosting this on Saturday here at our church. And the host church is the one who gives the first, you know, 15-minute sermonette. He goes, you're going to represent our church and give the sermonette. Now, I've never preached before in my life. And now I'm going to be in front of all these pastors. I mean, you called out of the comfort zone.
Yeah.
And I decided to preach on the message I wanted to deliver was on Peter walking on the water. And there was about 9 steps up to the platform. And I'm standing, and I got to the part where Peter was stepping out of the boat, and I said, now, as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, everything was all right. And I'm walking down these steps. I said, but the moment he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. And at that moment, I missed a step, and I tumbled all 8 steps. And I jumped up, and I said, and that's what happens when you take your eyes off Jesus. And the whole place erupted, right?
Yeah.
And when I got done, the senior member of the group, he's about 80 some years old, he pulled me aside. He says, that was the best example I ever seen on that sermon. He goes, and that recovery was perfect. So, I mean, that's how God called me out of my comfort zone. And I've been out of the comfort zone ever since. Everything I do is pushing the envelope, trying to stretch the word of God farther into the earth from that moment on.
Sure. Absolutely. And so tell me, you know, so many people, even during this Easter season that we're in right now, you know, are out there struggling in faith, and they need so much hope. This world needs so much hope out there.
Yeah.
And give us a reason for the hope. You know, give us what do you say to somebody who is right out there right now listening to this saying, man, I wish I just had a little bit of inspiration right now. I just wish, you know, God would come speak to me through somebody. What would you say to them?
Number one, let them know that God hears you. He hears your prayers. He hears the cries of the sinners. He doesn't hear the cry of his people. God doesn't respond to people, his believers. God does not respond to believers crying out. He says he responds to faith of the believer. To the sinners, he hears their cry because that's all they can do. And when they cry out to God, my advice would be let go and let God. Just let go and let God. And let God show you, number one, what to do, and then watch God work in your behalf. Now, once you're a believer, when you cry out to God about a situation, you know, like, you know, we were doing in my situation, we were deeply in debt. I said, God, you got to handle this because I can't. And he did. You know, he brought different paths of income across my path that allowed us to catch up the bills and all that stuff. But you had to give him glory for it, and you just had to trust him to do it. But as a non-believer who's struggling with that faith, just silently pull it all in and ask God to take care of it. And then let go of it and let God take it. And that is such a unique moment in the life of a human being, a human spirit, because that at that time, you're trusting completely in the creator of the universe, and he created you to worship him. So just let go and let God.
How beautiful. How beautiful is that? And, you know, a lot of people can probably identify with that. You know, believers, non-believers can probably identify with that. And you know, so my encouragement is, you know, as you listeners out there listening to this, take a moment in prayer after listening to something like this, and just be with God. I think, you know, Amen. A lot of times we got to spend time with God and just be silent and listen to his voice in your life. I want to change gears and Pastor Bob just a little bit. I want you to talk with me a little bit about, you know, what you're currently doing with Evangelism Radio, Kingdom Crossroads podcasts, and also the Everything Church related podcast.
Amen.
You know, you've got this wonderful ministry, and this can kind of bounce off the last question too, as well as people that need to know more about the faith, people that want to learn more and grow. This is an incredible ministry and that God has led you to. So just tell us a little bit about it.
Well, as God was working everything out for us back in Texas, I went to Bible school, went to Bible college, and after that, my daughter had married a GI, and he's from Baltimore, Maryland, and she moved back here with him. Well, we were basically starting over after Bible college. And I told my wife, I said, if you know we're going to start over, might as well keep our family together. Let's go back there and start over. And we came back and lived for the first part with my daughter and her husband. But the moment we got here, the blessings just started happening. And I knew we were where we were supposed to be. And it eventually evolved in me joining the state police force here in the Maryland, in Baltimore, Maryland. And after about 7.5 years, one night I got injured on the job. And about 3 surgeries later, I'm sitting at the computer and I'm praying. And Lord said, I want you to begin a weekly online 30-minute radio broadcast. Well, I had no idea what that was. I had to have help checking email. I mean, my computer skills were virtually non-existent. I could turn it on and do an easy search, but that's about it. And I prayed about it and decided, okay, I'll trust God, you know, let go, let God. And I learned how to do it. And now it's called a podcast. I didn't know that back then. But soon that podcast got identified and picked up, and I got an invitation to go on AM radio, nationwide AM radio. And it was very expensive, about $600 a month on 4 stations, a single broadcast once a week. On those stations. I said, I was excited about, yeah, let's do it. Well, about 6 months into that is when the police department decided, you know what, you're not recovering from these surgeries. You're not going to be able to do the work of a police officer. We're going to let you retire. And I was devastated. I'd lost my dream job of being in the military for retirement. I had built the insurance agency to #2 in the world, and then all of a sudden my market dried up because everybody went to Iraq. And now my next career, which I was doing very well at the police department, was taken from me. And I was praying, I said, God, do I continue to fight this or just let you go? You know, and he said, let go, let God. So I let go. And then he said, now, are you having a problem meeting your radio budget? So, oh, yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, the prosperity message, and here comes the blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said, many ministers I call are having problems meeting their radio budget, or they can't do it at all. He goes, I want you to begin your own online radio station, and I want you to make it so affordable no pastor can say no. So, okay, what do you want me to charge? He goes, I want you to make it free. I was like, you do realize there's some expenses involved here, right? He said, let go and let God. Just trust me. And from day one, we started October 4th, 2010, and from that day to now, we've never had 1 month go by where the budget has not been met. God's been faithful every month to have offerings come in. Well, evangelism radio suddenly took off, and our ratings started skyrocketing. And on August 12th, 2015, we were rated number one in the world by Shoutcast.com for the very first time. From that day till the end of 2016, we were rated number one in the world 85% of the time. We changed our server platform from one that was hosted on a Shoutcast platform to a more modern one. So we lost, you know, I don't know what our rankings are now, but our listening hours have increased. The number of nations that hears, we're in over 165 nations right now. That's increased. So I know, you know, we'd still be in the top four or five anyway. But God's been faithful. Now, you asked about Kingdom Crossroads podcast. Oh, and by the way, we started Evangelism Radio with one broadcaster. That was me. We're now at 41 okay. different broadcasters.
Beautiful.
Kingdom Crossroads podcast, I started that as a way to interview the broadcasters so that the people listening would get to know them better, is basically what it was for. And it was an interview-based podcast, and it continues to be so. But we started everything church-related podcast to talk to everybody else, not just the pastors on our radio station, but everybody else, anyone who had anything to do with ministry. And that podcast has taken off. The popularity of that podcast and the listenership is going good. It's almost caught up. Kingdom Crossroads podcast is 2 years old. Everything church-related is 2 months old. And we're about two-thirds of the way on the download side. With everything church leg catching up with the Kingdom Crossroads podcast, within a couple more months, it'll surpass it in listenership. And again, just let go and let God.
That's beautiful. Tell me about how people can listen. You know, I'm sure they can just Google it. I know you have evangelismradio.com, but
correct.
But tell us, you know, I mean, online radio is such a big thing, you know, all these different platforms out there. But online radio, you know, tune in, all those different things. So just tell us about some of the ways people can get into that, those portals.
Well, you mentioned evangelismradio.com. That takes you directly to the radio station, and it'll start playing automatically. You also visit our ministry website, which is ftfm.org, ftfm.org. That's for Freedom Through Faith Ministries.org. And there's a link to the radio stations on there and a link to the podcasts. So you can listen to those episodes and everything else going on in the ministry. Something that's not on there. We talked about this off the radio for a minute, prior to the interview today, that as of yesterday, the Lord has opened a door for us to go on AM radio in 27 different cities throughout the United States. I'm in the process of putting a page with a link to that up on our website. On ftfm.org, we're building that page right now that shows all those cities that we're going to be in. But it's 27 different cities. And then the Lord has given us an opportunity to go on to begin an AM radio station it's a low-power station, but it'll be strong enough to reach Baltimore City. And we're going to be streaming evangelism radio over that radio station. So, I mean, the opportunity for winning souls, Jesus is making it. I mean, he's doing the impossible, and he's the God. God is the God of the impossible. Nothing is impossible with him if you only believe. And we're just, again, I have to go back to that catchphrase that the Lord gave me, just let go and let God, and God's showing up. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's amazing. The words of the gospel right there. That you just used, you know, for nothing will be impossible for him, as the Blessed Mother says to the whole world, right? Right.
Amen.
After Gabriel's. So that's wonderful. I thank you so much for being with me today. It's been so much fun. And I want to, you know, just quickly get from you. I know that you mentioned that it's free for different ministries and pastors to spread their message out. How do they get in touch with you to do that? I mean, there might be pastors and ministries right now listening to this saying, hey, I'd like to have my own half hour or hour radio show.
Sure.
How do they get in touch with you?
Go to evangelismradio.com, and there's a contact form on there. It says contact us, and just fill out that form, and I receive it via email almost immediately, and just tell me, you know, how to get a hold of you and what kind of program you're looking to do, and I will answer. I answer every email. And on the FTFM.org site, there's also a contact form as well that will be sent directly to me.
Cool. That's wonderful. We'll make sure that people know those links. I'll actually put them in the podcast as well. So like on the podcast description, we'll put them down there. Pastor Bob, thank you so much for being with me on Patchwork Heart Radio and Young Catholics Respond today. It's a pleasure to talk with you again, and hopefully we'll have many more conversations.
Oh, yeah. Amen. And Bill, I just want to appreciate, I want to tell you how much I appreciate your ministry and what you're doing for the Lord. And may the Lord continue to bless you and keep you and prosper you and take care of you and grow your impact in this world with the gospel.
Amen. Well, this has been an episode of Patchwork Heart Radio's Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Radio, I'm Bill Snyder. God bless.